Radio. Republican Senator John Kyle says they're far apart with Democrats on a budget resolution.
I hope that the people at the White House and Democratic leadership will pick up this idea of acting responsibly and join Speaker Boehner in this effort.
There could be a federal government shutdown at the end of the week. A 77-year-old volunteer for the Gila County Sheriff's Office fell to his death in the town of Forest looking for a missing person.
One of our mounted posse men was trying to maneuver over a particularly difficult little piece of terrain and fell from his horse and was killed.
Testimony from an assistant for James Ray at that deadly sweat lodge ceremony where three died in 2009 near Sedona.
The guy came out and his whole arm was burnt, really bad, and he had fallen into the hole of the where the hot rocks were.
A Mesa man faces multiple burglary charges.
They were able to determine that he committed five burglaries in that area.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Advil PM. You're going to find a collision on Bell Road west of 32nd Street. Also, there's some slight delays westbound on the 10 between the 51 and 19th Avenue. More slow traffic located northbound of the Black Canyon between Thomas and Northern. In fact, when pain keeps you up, nothing is proven to help you fall asleep faster than Advil PM liquid gels. For nighttime pain, make Advil PM your number one choice. From the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we're getting ready for this big major change Friday and Saturday. Until then, we might have some lightly scattered showers around the valley tonight and early tomorrow. Our highs, low 80s. But then by Friday and Saturday, major cooling, upper 60s Friday, mid-60s Saturday. Scattered rain showers, snow in the high country. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 81 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. We're winning breaks here on KFNX. News Talk Radio 1100.
See the planes that won the war. America's true heroes will be on display and in the air April 9th and 10th during Legends Over the Colorado, the second annual commemorative air show hosted by the Laughlin Tourism Commission. View some of the world's most historic aircraft, including Fifi, the only operational B-29 Super Fortress in the world. Watch Avengers and Spitfires recreate battle scenes from World War II or pilot a T-6 Texan. This isn't your average air show. The second annual Legends Over the Colorado in Laughlin, Nevada. Go to lotcflyin.org to purchase tickets now.
811 is the number you should call before you begin any digging project, even small jobs like planting trees or shrubs. Whether you're a homeowner or a professional excavator, one call to 811 gets underground utility lines marked for free. Utility lines can be buried in yards, under streets, alleys, and vacant land. If you hit an underground utility line, you can harm yourself or those around you, disrupt service to an entire neighborhood, and potentially be responsible for fines and repair costs. Know what's below. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Southwest Gas.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
It's 4:06 and Wednesdays, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Dennis Willinchek with you to talk about legal issues today. If you have any questions about the law or areas relating to the law, so much that we see in the news today has some form of legal ramification or angle to it. We're here to talk about that and the law and current legal issues. I'm here to answer your questions. I've been in town here as a trial lawyer for over 33 years and specialize in commercial civil litigation. I've done some criminal work as well and been a prosecutor. So give us a call. The phone number here is 602-277-KFNX-5369. That's 277-KFNX. Today we're going to try to focus, those of you who regularly listen to the show, we're going to try to focus on the bunch of different things, but one of the topics we're going to talk about is the county attorney's office. And Bill Montgomery, who is the current county attorney who defeated Richard Romley, has indicated he will try to stop by here today to speak to anybody that wants to call in, and we'll be asking him questions if he makes it down here. He's not here yet. Talking about his career and some of the issues affecting the office since he's taken over. As many of you know, it was a very contentious election between Richard Romley, who'd been a longtime county attorney, and Bill Montgomery. And Bill has had his share of issues with the Board of Supervisors since Maricopa County Attorney Andrew Thomas left to run for Attorney General and lost. And Bill took over and will be running again shortly, I think in about 2 years. And as you know, Richard Romley was appointed to the county attorney's office by the Board of Supervisors. And everybody expected him to win handily his election. But strange things happen in politics. He was defeated handily by Bill Montgomery. Bill is an interesting character. Apparently he was born in Linwood, California, and was raised in a single-parent household where his mother often had to turn to public assistance to support Bill and his younger brother and sister. And after graduating near the top of his class in high school, Bill received an appointment to the United States Military Academy at West Point. And he graduated from West Point and began his commission as a second lieutenant at Fort Hood, Texas, where he was assigned as a tank platoon leader as part of the 1st Cavalry Division. He served in Iraq during Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm and was awarded a Bronze Star Medal for meritorious service for his contribution in the liberation of Kuwait, the defeat of Saddam Hussein, and the safe return of the 15 soldiers that he led. So he definitely has an interesting background that merits further discussion. Bill was later promoted to the rank of captain, becoming one of only 9 captains to be asked to command an armored cavalry troop, one of the most prestigious assignments an armor officer can hold in the United States Army. And after leaving the military, he attended ASU Law School, where he earned his JD degree, Juris Doctor degree, graduating magna cum laude and receiving the prestigious Order of the Coif Award. He immediately went to work for the Maricopa County Attorney's Office as a prosecutor, where he gained a reputation for garnering tough sentences and as an aggressive, fair, and tireless advocate for victims' rights. And Bill, as I said, was sworn into the office of the county attorney on November 22nd. Following, as I said, a much heated and much followed race against Richard Romley. I believe we have Bill on the line now, who's calling in. Bill, are you with us?
I am, Dennis.
Oh, good. We thought you were coming down to the studio, so I apologize. I got started. When I didn't see you, I got a little nervous, but I'm so glad you were able to call in.
No, I was listening to the intro. I want to meet the guy you were talking about.
That's great. Yeah, well, it's a very impressive background, I have to say. Extremely so, and you should be proud of it. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind, about that while we're on it, before
sure.
we get into, you know, substantive issues, because you are an interesting guy, and you have a lot of things in your background that I think are quite fascinating, really, to our listeners. First of all, I don't know that there's many county attorneys that actually even served in the military, but I could be wrong on that. But maybe you know the answer to that more than I do, but I don't remember any.
Well, let's see. Any who are currently serving as county attorney, I don't think that there are.
Yeah.
You know, and of course here in Maricopa County, Rick Romley had served in the Marines in Vietnam.
Right, that's right.
Prior to that, prior to Rick, I'm not sure of anybody else who may have served in the military.
Yeah, let me ask you about this. First of all, going to West Point, most people who go to West Point, I would assume, seek a career in the military, which apparently you did, and served with great distinction. What would cause you then to basically not continue on in the military and go to law school, of all things?
Trade one brand of insanity for another.
Right, exactly.
Well, I did intend, when I graduated from West Point and received my commission, to embark on a 20-year career. I had an obligation to serve for 5 years on active duty. That's a service obligation that at the time I graduated everybody incurred. And after my experience in Desert Storm, I decided that at a minimum I would stay in the Army until I had a chance to command and pass along lessons learned. And that's what took me to the 6.5-year mark. And once I concluded my command tour, I wanted to go back and teach at West Point, so that I could stay on a cycle of rotations where I'd get a chance to serve with soldiers again and have a chance to command at a higher level.
Mm.
And the Army wanted me to become a foreign area expert in either Mexico or Venezuela.
Interesting.
And quite honestly, I enjoyed being an armor officer and rolling around the battlefield in a 70-ton tank. You know, there aren't too many other places where you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know if enjoy would be the right word, but it certainly is interesting.
Well, yeah, there's something about going 45 miles an hour across the open desert with 70 tons of steel underneath you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There haven't been too many other experiences in life that equate to it.
Right, right.
And
you don't
do
that every day at the county attorney's office, in other words.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, getting 4 gallons to the mile doesn't make it cost effective.
Right, right. Those county vehicles just aren't the same.
No.
Although I don't even think you drive a county vehicle, do you?
Actually, no.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
I declined to take a county vehicle, and I continue to drive a personal vehicle.
Yeah, that's what I remember, which is kind of unusual. Most of the county attorneys, if not all of them that I recall, drove county vehicles, as do many of the people working in the county. And you declined that, which I think says a lot.
Well, thanks. To finish the point.
Yeah.
So the Army wanted me to do that, and I figured I was good at what I was doing. I enjoyed it, and I didn't want to stick around for another 13 and a half years trading one desk assignment for another just for a pension. I enjoyed the service part of it. So
yeah.
The Army and I parted amicably at that point.
Well, I mean, if you don't mind talking about this, you know, when you were a young lad – and you, I saw a picture of you somewhere in some kind of cadet uniform or something. Did you think that you would stay in the military, maybe for a career fully?
You know, I did. I had an open mind about that. No one in my family had any military experience before I went to West Point. And over the course of my time there, I did appreciate, and you know, the term we sort of used was internalize duty, honor, country, and the whole idea about service to the nation. And so I was perfectly willing to do that. You know, again, my career up to the point when I made the decision to leave was one where, you know, I'd spent a lot of time in the field. I'd gone to war. I'd led soldiers in that environment. And that sort of was where I derived the greatest satisfaction and the greatest sense of contributing to something bigger than myself. And when, you know, the Army's options for me seemed to be much more limited, it didn't draw me as much. And quite honestly, Dennis, that's what then wound up sending me to law school, because in the private sector, where I went right after I left the Army, I didn't get that same sense of job satisfaction, that same sense of,
yeah,
of service. And then, decided, you know what? I can still contribute to my community, and I could be a prosecutor and have a role to play in having a safe community and still serving. And so that's
how it evolved. Well, Bill, we're going to take a break in a minute, and I appreciate your staying with us and talking about your life, which is fascinating. And we'll come back and talk about why you went into the county attorney's office when we return from these breaks, all right?
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
First Option Lending, the people you call first.
Are you in double trouble? Do you have a first and a second mortgage that totals slightly more than your home is worth? Have you been turned down by banks and mortgage companies that simply can't help? First Option Lending can help. We've even helped people who were told by others to just walk away from their home.
Nonsense. If you're upside down in your primary home but have a steady job and pay your mortgage on time, call today, because this opportunity and these record low rates may soon be gone. We can get you out of double trouble, because double trouble is no trouble at First Option Lending. First Option Lending, 480-751-3400. 751-3400.
First Option Lending.
480-751-3400.
License 19017.
France has an enormous amount of money on the line in Libya, okay? An enormous amount. Very different from our interests in France, in Libya. And we have to be extremely clear with the American people why we're doing this, what our interest is in the region, and apparently, according to the Secretary of Defense, there is none. And we're going to have to make it very clear as to why this humanitarian effort is different from the other humanitarian crises around the world.
Laura Ingraham, mornings at 6 on KFNX.
Well, this is Dennis Molinchek, and we're back with Legalese program, which airs 4 to 5 every Wednesday leading into Lou Dobbs. And we're honored today to have as our guest Bill Montgomery, who is the current county attorney of Maricopa County, hopefully the county attorney for some time. Bill, before we broke, we were talking a little bit about your background, which frankly is fascinating, as I said, and your military experience. And we were just about talking about why you went into law school and graduated with high honors, and why you left the private sector, or the ability to probably make a lot more money in the private sector to do what you're doing. And my understanding is you left directly law school after the military, and then you went directly to the county attorney's office. Is that right?
That's correct.
And as I said to our listeners, graduated with high honors and certainly could have found a job that paid a lot more money. What attracted you to the county attorney's office? Although I have to say, in fairness, I did the same thing, but I don't think I had as impressive a background as you did. But well, tell us why you did that.
Well, again, one of the motivations for going to law school was to be a prosecutor, and one of the things that got me to ASU's College of Law in particular was a prosecution fellowship that they offered to one second-year law student each year that would give them the opportunity to prosecute at the municipal, county, state, and federal levels over the course of the third year of law school. And at ASU, it's called the Truman Young Fellowship.
I actually I just want to interrupt. I worked with Truman Young about two doors down from me when I was at the county, and I just have to say one of the greatest guys I ever worked with, real inspiration for our listeners. He tragically passed away in a plane crash incident. He was a pilot for the military while being a county attorney. He was in the reserve, and he was in a crash in a bomber plane. I think he was flying out of Luke. I don't know if you remember that, Bill, but it was a very tragic incident.
Yeah, I think it was a mid-air collision with the plane he was piloting with the Air National Guard, and then a private plane literally crashed into him.
Yes, superb guy. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, well, and I'm glad you mentioned him. Mm-hmm. He was a great man, a great prosecutor.
Yeah, he was.
And all that, even though he graduated from the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, when he was there, for what it's worth, he was slated by many people. He was a good-looking guy. He was just a really great guy. And he was slated, many people even talked about him in our office, as probably running for governor someday. He was that kind of a guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in some sense, then, I'm honored to be carrying on.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
The service.
Definitely.
That he obviously began and the example that he had set.
But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you on your story. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Over the course of that fellowship, I did an internship for a semester here at the county attorney's office, and got to prosecute a felony DUI case and secured a jury conviction, and noticed that among all the different prosecution agencies and levels within the state of Arizona, the widest variety and easiest ability to move from one area of prosecution to another was in the county attorney's office, and there were just a great bunch of people here. And so literally the Monday following my graduation from law school, I started interning here, initially reviewing domestic violence cases, and this is where I began my career.
Yeah, a lot of interesting people. When I was at the county, Grant Woods, who later became attorney general, was doing the same thing at our office. I remember seeing him in the back studying and when he was still in law school, as you were. And that's a wonderful experience. In fact, you ran for attorney general against Terry Goddard as your first official bid in public life, right?
I did. And looking back, I can say that I helped enable Terry to run for governor a third time.
No comment. I don't know if that's good or bad. But certainly would have made a great attorney general. But I guess it's not too shabby where you are now, right?
No, no. And even this particular office, you know, with the experience of running statewide back in 2006, it was a lot of fun. It certainly was a good learning experience. I was honored in that I did receive the Republican nomination, and I was able to run unopposed in that primary. But after that was done, I guess you could say I sort of got it out of my system, and I wound up coming back to the county attorney's office mid-2008 and worked as a line prosecutor for about 6 months, and then took over the Auto Theft Bureau. And really, Dennis, my sort of like my career goal at that point was focused on becoming a homicide prosecutor.
Mm.
And it was only because of political happenstance and
yeah.
the county attorney at that time stepping down to run for attorney general with this office opening up that the opportunity to continue to serve in the county attorney's office and take a leadership role was an opportunity that my wife encouraged me to pursue. And
yeah. Well, and we're going to get into in the second half of the program some of the issues you're facing, and because you've had an interesting time right from the get-go. But I want to focus before our next break. Tell me a little bit about your childhood. I think it's kind of fascinating. It says in your bio that you're raised in a single-parent household, and your mother apparently had to turn to public assistance to support you and your younger brother and sister. And, of course, that I'm sure is a fascination to people. It is to me. Obviously, mothers like that who work and bring up kids the right way often are never praised enough. So tell me a little bit about that, if you don't mind, about your early childhood.
Sure. In fact, looking back at it as we're doing right now, nobody would, I think, if they're being honest, guess that with the success that I've been blessed with and the family that I have now, I could have come from those circumstances to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go back in time and then look forward,
yeah.
no one would guess that I would be able to achieve the success that I had. Because at that time, and this is just also south of South Central Los Angeles,
I see.
I was born in Linwood and grew up predominantly in Paramount, which is right next to Compton.
What is that like?
It's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I went back to my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Best friend who I grew up with, his father passed away, and so I was back there for the service. And I was getting my rental car at LAX.
Yeah.
And the guy on the other side of the counter just asked me where I was headed. I went straight to the airport from work, so I still had my suit on. I said, well, I'm headed for Paramount. And he looked at me and goes, why would you want to go there? I said, well, that's where I grew up. And he told me, he goes, well, the neighborhood isn't anything like it was when you were growing up there.
That's
and I said, the neighborhood wasn't anything like it was when I was growing up there.
In other words, it wasn't Beverly Hills, I take it.
No. I grew up in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street from where I was living at one point was a gang.
Right.
And the opportunity to get into trouble was literally right around the corner. Gangs running around, stealing bikes, smoking dope, hanging out in the park.
So you've been there.
People.
You've been there. You've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. I've seen guys get jumped into gangs, and I've seen gangs jump guys.
Yeah. And a lot of people would go into the military, I take it.
There was a good number of folks who would enlist in the military that I recall as I was growing up. But even then, it wasn't like there was any one particular individual or group of people who were positive role models in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Sort of the biggest influences that I had growing up from a role model standpoint were coaches on football teams that I played on when I got up into high school.
You know, if you don't mind my asking, now, where was your father?
In and out, mostly out, and
yeah.
then he wound up doing time in a federal prison for drug trafficking.
Wow.
So I did not have a father around
yeah.
at those at those times when, for a young boy, they need that male influence the most.
Sure.
And that role wound up being filled by, you know, like I was saying, coaches. And it was hard on my mom because she wound up having to try and fill two roles, one as a mother and then, you know, one is, you know, sort of trying to provide fatherly advice, but you know, there's a reason why it takes a man and woman to make a kid and a man and woman to raise a kid.
Well, what did she do for a living?
Well, for the most part, during the early years, she didn't work. My mom didn't get a driver's license until she was in her 30s.
Wow.
And so, you know, that hampered her ability to make a living, too, and support us, which is why for about half the time growing up, we had welfare.
Yeah.
But then she, you know, wound up working as a receptionist in various jobs. And then in the latter years, my wife and I moved her out here from Southern California, and she worked in housekeeping at Chandler Regional Hospital.
Amazing. Yeah, well, it's, you know, one more example of how really no matter where you come from, what background and so forth and the hardships of it, how you can make something of yourself as you have just by hard work and understanding that it takes hard work to make yourself a success. It's truly an incredible story. And,
well, and, you know, the greatest praise that I can give to my mom, besides loving us as much as she could, was two very important lessons she taught us. The first was that circumstances are what we deal with. They don't dictate who you are or what you can become. And secondly, each and every one of us has been blessed with individual talents and abilities that if we're willing to work hard enough to employ, you know, you can dream big dreams, you can set high goals, and then if you're willing to work hard enough, you can accomplish them.
Yeah. Well, that's very inspiring, truly, and I hope you get that message out every time you talk to young people because it's an incredible story. We're going to unfortunately have to break, Bill, and be back shortly, and we're going to get into some other issues as to what's facing you ahead as we return. This is KFNX, Dennis Wolinchek, News Talk Radio 1100.
Laura Ingraham, Neil Bortz, Steve Malzberg, Lou Dobbs, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the valley.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall, and just over an hour from now, President Barack Obama, House Speaker John Boehner, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will gather at the White House to talk about ways to avoid a government shutdown. Republicans and Democrats are still haggling over what to cut from the current budget. Senator Reid insists his side is not at fault.
We want to avoid a shutdown and the terrible consequences that would follow. The only thing Republicans are trying to avoid is making the tough choices that we need to make.
Speaker Boehner says the House will vote on another one-week extension tomorrow. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi sent a letter to President Barack Obama Wednesday asking him to end NATO's air operations over Libya. The White House says it isn't taking the letter seriously. One person is dead after a shooting on the campus of Southern Union State Community College in Alabama. Several others were injured. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Republican Senator John Kyle says they're far apart with Democrats on a budget resolution.
I hope that the people of the White House and Democratic leadership will pick up this idea of acting responsibly and join Speaker Boehner in this effort.
There could be a federal government shutdown at the end of the week. A 77-year-old volunteer for the Gila County Sheriff's Office fell to his death in the town of Forest looking for a missing person.
One of our mounted posse men was trying to maneuver over a particularly difficult little piece of terrain and fell from his horse and was killed.
Testimony from an assistant for James Ray at that deadly sweat lodge ceremony where three died in 2009 near Sedona.
The guy came out and his whole arm was burnt really bad, and he had fallen into the hole of the where the hot rocks were.
A Mesa man faces multiple burglary charges.
They were able to determine that he committed five burglaries in that area.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. You're going to find that Highway 89 north of Forest Service Road 643, if you're traveling in that direction, is closed. Two motorcycles involved in an accident near milepost 335. Closer to home, though, westbound of the 10 near between the 51 and the stack. No surprise, you're going to see lots of brake lights. In-N-Out Burger, where freshness isn't just a claim, it's a way of life. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. From the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we're getting ready for this big major change Friday and Saturday. Until then, we might have some lightly scattered showers around the valley tonight and early tomorrow. Our highs, low 80s. But then by Friday and Saturday, major cooling, upper 60s Friday, mid-60s Saturday. Scattered rain showers, snow in the high country. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 81 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes, and when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
London Gold, it's the best.
Hey, sis.
So what are you going all gonzo about?
Well, Sharon's going to be jumping a jet for a couple of months back in Boca on business, and I have this dream, and I'm convinced that she's got to be wearing my rock or I'm toast.
Okay, slow down. You want to simplify that for me?
All right, I'm going for the goal. I'm going to ask Sharon to marry me before she leaves on her two-month training class. But I got to find an engagement ring, a beautiful, seductive, you can't say no kind of ring. And you're going to help me.
Oh, is that all?
Well, that and I don't want to run all over town, and I'm not made of money, you know.
Oh, I know. But you want diamonds, lots of rings to choose from.
Yeah, yeah, I want that.
Then I know just the place. Because if you're going for the gold, you got to go to the gold. London Gold.
For over 30 years, London Gold has been offering couples a wide array of diamond engagement and wedding rings that not only reflect the timeless beauty of their love, but an enduring value as well.
London Gold. It's the best.
Coming up this week on The Kevin Trudeau Show.
This week, the natural ways to protect yourself from radiation exposure, and if you are exposed, how to cure yourself of radiation exposure. Plus, I may give away $500, so don't miss this show.
Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. on News Talk Radio 1100, KFNX.
Have you had enough drama in your life? Do you want to live your life to its fullest with joy and balance? Then visit LifeSimplyDone.com to learn about the Life Simply Done seminar on April 9th in Phoenix. Life Simply Done guarantees that the methods shared at the April 9th seminar can immediately be used in your daily life. To learn more, go to LifeSimplyDone.com. Stop the drama and find the balanced and joyful life you deserve at the Life Simply Done seminar on April 9th. Visit LifeSimplyDone.com. That's LifeSimplyDone.com.
This is Dennis Walenchek, and we are back on Legalese here at KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. We're here Wednesday from 4 to 5, and we're honored today to be talking with Bill Montgomery, who is the current county attorney, and as I say, hopefully county attorney for a long time. Bill, I hope you're going to stay in office, or that's your plan, right?
Yes, I am not running for Senator Kyle.
That's official, huh?
Yes, I will not be announcing anytime soon that I'm going to seek the presidency either.
Oh, good, good. Well, we need you, but no comment further on that. But tell me, so when is the election for county attorney?
Well, ordinarily it's a four-year term, but because of the previous county attorney stepping down to run for attorney general, we had a special election. And so I'm just filling out the current term, and there will be another election next November in 2012 for the next four-year term.
So you're really in some ways starting to run now because that isn't a whole lot of time.
Yeah, you know, obviously I haven't made an official announcement or anything, but a lot of the things that I want to do and need to do, quite honestly, would take more than just a two-year term to accomplish.
Well, let's talk about that. What are your goals for the office? What is it you do want to accomplish? And why should the voters look forward to having you back in office in the future?
Well, one of the first things that I needed to do in taking the office was to get us back on track with having county government that was functioning well and working right, and that the county attorney's office could focus more on what our mission truly is. And so I started off by working together with the Board of Supervisors and getting the civil division and civil litigation functions back into the county attorney's office. And last week, the Board of Supervisors approved, I guess you'd call it, the administrative steps necessary to consolidate the civil litigation functions, which, you know, and that was a major accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I think helps to set a new tone for how agencies and officials are going to interact and work together going forward.
Yeah, no, that's very big. I mean, the fact is that the relationship, obviously, between the former county attorney and the board just had devolved into something that was beyond, I think, anybody's expectation or experience. And you have now done a great job from everything that I can see in terms of bringing some semblance of sanity back to the county from the craziness that existed. And one of the big steps, as you say, was to bring the civil division back. But in that regard, I want to ask you, because many of our listeners don't really know what the county attorney does. In fact, I get all the time questions of people thinking that the attorney general is the county attorney, the county attorney is the attorney general. Most of our listeners who don't practice law don't really understand the parameters of your office. So maybe you can take a minute and share with us exactly what your office does.
Sure. Well, as the county attorney for Maricopa County, I'm one of 15 county attorneys within the state. And by analogy, in most other jurisdictions, this position would be referred to as the district attorney. And also, unlike other jurisdictions, my office has both civil and criminal functions. On the civil side of things, it's my responsibility to represent Maricopa County in civil lawsuits. When someone sues Maricopa County, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's my office that has the responsibility to provide a defense. And then we also provide advice to a number of different agencies and other elected officials. And then on the criminal side, my office prosecutes all the felonies for Maricopa County, and depending upon where an offense is committed, a lot of the misdemeanors as well. We also provide prosecutors for the justice courts throughout Maricopa County, and we're the primary liaison in working with other law enforcement agencies to execute our shared mission of protecting and safeguarding our community.
We're talking with Bill Montgomery, who's the county attorney of Maricopa County. Bill, I appreciate your sharing with us the duties of your office. And I have to believe that there are some priorities that you have for the office that probably differ from your predecessor. Can you share with us some of these priorities that you have for the office going forward?
Sure. Well, one of them is to take a concerted effort to reach out to our community and to incorporate every aspect, making no distinction based on either ethnicity or race or cultural background, and wanting to make sure that everybody understands that our efforts to have a safe community, have a place where we can minimize crime as much as possible, involves everyone, business and civic leaders. And so I put together a business advisory council made up of local business leaders in the community to provide me with a sounding board for different areas that I'm responsible for that impact the ability of businesses to operate well within the county. One example of that is our check enforcement program, which is a free service to businesses and to a lot of individuals, where if someone is passed a bad check, we can assist in the recovery of that and get restitution for them. And you know, a few specifics about it. This program began in the late 80s, and the funds for the program are generated entirely from fees and payments that are levied on the bad check writers, so there's no cost to taxpayers.
Mm.
And on average, each year, we repay to victims about $1.2
million. Wow, that's big.
So, you know, that's something that we offer to the business community and wanting to help them out. I'm also putting together a community advisory council made up of neighborhood leaders throughout the county to do something similar from that perspective. And some of the things that we usually focus on at that level are issues involving, you know, graffiti, neighborhood block watch programs, and that sort of thing. And so that's one major focus.
Yeah, bringing back some positivity to the office.
Yeah, and also getting people to understand that, you know, we're all in this thing together,
and
we've got to be mutually supportive. My effectiveness at helping to keep crime low doesn't derive just from putting violent and repeat criminals in prison. That's an important part of it, but that's just one half of the spectrum of trying to keep crime low. The other half involves prevention and education efforts and keeping communities active. It's been my experience, you know, going back to how we talked about where I grew up.
Right.
You know, strong communities or safe communities.
Right. Let me ask you something. We're talking with Bill Montgomery, by the way, county attorney. If you have any questions, feel free to call in to our KFNX studios here. Our number is 602-277-KFNX. That's 5369. But, Bill, let me ask you, we're having actually the sheriff, our illustrious sheriff, on next week. And how are you working with the sheriff? How's that relationship going?
You know, it's working out well. Going back to the campaign for this office, I enjoyed the sheriff's support and his endorsement. In the way that we communicated to the public about how we would work together is just from that standpoint. We would work together because we have a shared responsibility for protecting and safeguarding our community. And I look at the sheriff as a law enforcement partner. I have to have an independent role within the criminal justice system for me to do my job well and for us to maintain confidence in the community that we have a fair and just criminal justice system. But even though I'm performing that duty as an independent prosecutor, I work with the sheriff in a similar way as I work with other law enforcement agencies to make sure that we're getting cases that we can prosecute, that the sheriff's office understands what we need in order to be able to successfully prosecute cases, the evidence that's going to be required, the different standards for cases that we need to see. And that relationship has been very positive. We've got a good communication going on between my command staff and the sheriff's command staff.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very helpful, obviously. Let me ask you something. We only probably have another minute or so before the break, but and if we get cut off, we'll pick this up when we come back. We're talking with Bill Montgomery, county attorney. I want to talk to you about the mandatory sentencing guideline issue, which I know you're involved in, because Arizona's budget deficits have forced lawmakers into considering rewriting the sentencing guidelines to reduce the prison population. When we come back, Bill, I'm going to ask you some questions about that. It's a hot topic right now. And we're going to take a break shortly for some messages, and we will be back on KFNX. Again, our number here is 1-800, toll-free 1-866-536-1100. This is Dennis Wolinchek talking with Bill Montgomery.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I need somebody.
Dave, is it really all doom and gloom out there?
Well, Rick, I can think of one bright spot.
Mondays at noon, here on KFNX.
The Elton Realty Show.
Your real estate survival guides.
The Lou Dobbs Show. Returning this country to the American people. 1 hour at a time. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Right here on KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Hi, folks. Jim Sewards here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale with some great news. The new Cadillacs, driven by the professional golfers at the Accentua Match Play, are on sale and ready for delivery at Legends Cadillac. We received a great selection of CTS sedans and coupes in all colors and great option packages. But our best selection is the load of 2011 SRXs we got. Everyone fully loaded, all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, with package discounts that make this world-class automobile very, very affordable. Now, with this special factory package comes four Escalades equipped with the Signature Series. Now, this comes with custom wheels, chrome exhaust, custom grills, and all of them in the premium option package. Now, folks, this is a limited allotment, so don't wait. Come in and test drive these special event vehicles. Who knows? Maybe your golf game will even improve. Only at Legends Cadillac. It's like no place else in North Scottsdale, or online at legendscadillac.com.
This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. We're brought to you every week, Wednesdays, 4 to 5. Our number here is 602-277-KFNX. It's 5369 if you wish to call in. We're honored today to have the current county attorney, Bill Montgomery, speaking with us for the hour. It's been very interesting talking about Bill's life and his career and some of the things that are near and dear to his heart in terms of moving the office forward. Right now, Bill, I'd like to talk to you, as I said before the break, about the mandatory sentencing guideline issue. And as I was saying, apparently because of the terrible budget cuts that we're looking at potentially, lawmakers are considering rewriting the 30-year-old sentencing guidelines. 30 years old. I was a prosecutor 30 years ago. To reduce the prison population. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the effort at the outset was not conducted from what I think a point that it should have been, and that's from looking at objective data about the current inmate population, who do we have there, and from that population, making some decisions and looking at the potential harm to the community, who do you really think you could release or not send to prison and not have a negative impact. And, so far none of those bills have made it out of the legislature, which I'm grateful for. And to step back for one second, too, if we look at the objective data, there was a 2009 study done that was commissioned by the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council to answer the question, who is in prison? And what we learned is that almost 95% of the people in prison are violent or repeat felons. In other words, if you were to stand back and say, who should be in prison? I think most people out in our community would say, okay, well, anybody who commits a violent crime and people who keep committing crimes.
Right.
Well, exactly. And that's who we have there. Of the other roughly 5% who are, you could say, are nonviolent first-time felony offenders, over 60% of those are drug traffickers.
Yeah. So, what would you do with them?
Well, exactly. I've joked. What kind of diversion program would we have for them? Make them over-the-road truckers?
Right.
They're drug traffickers. There's not much else you're going to be able to do with them except the deterrence of long prison terms.
Right.
So we start with that as the objective facts.
What about the white-collar criminals?
Well, now, and that's a good question. What do you do with a white-collar criminal who has, largely committed a financial crime.
Right.
Those victims have been harmed, not necessarily in a physical sense, at least not initially.
Sure.
Tell someone who winds up losing all their money in their account, having their credit damaged, if not, out and out destroyed, and then receive additional impacts and not being able to buy a house, not being able to go buy a new car, or even get a job in some instances. The harm to them is real also. With white-collar criminals, for the most part, the types of offenses they're committing are generally going to call for probation the first time they commit them. And they'll be able to stay out. They'll be able to work and repay through restitution whatever harm they may have caused financially. It's hard to go to prison in Arizona. You have to commit a violent crime, using a dangerous weapon or a deadly instrument, commit a dangerous crime against a child, or commit a sexual offense to wind up with mandatory prison.
Well, what do you think about when I was involved in this issue 30 years ago, or more familiar with it perhaps than today? The issue was that judges had a lot of discretion on sentencing, and there was a big movement afoot to take away a lot of that discretion, to have some more uniformity, to have more of what I call a French system codifying the sentencing, where the judge really didn't have a lot of ability to vary from it. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, and you've got a good historical perspective on it, because 30 years ago, Arizona had indeterminate sentencing,
right,
where there were some offenses where you could get probation or face a prison sentence from 5 years to life. Now, that indeterminate sentencing system also revealed that depending upon where you were at within the state and who you were, if you were if you were an African-American kid in South Phoenix and committed a particular offense, you could go to prison. And yet, if you were a Caucasian kid up in Coconino County, you might get probation.
Right.
So we weren't treating similarly situated defendants committing similar crimes in a similar way. We did not have a just criminal justice system in that sense. Now, what we've done
in that it wasn't predictable or uniform.
No. And one of the ways for your criminal statutes to be effective in deterring crime is punishment has to be sure, certain, and swift.
Right.
And having determinate sentencing, where if you commit a particular offense, you're going to be facing a certain range of punishment, is one way to make sure that the criminal justice system is fair and isn't skewed based on geographic location or, in some instances, your ethnic background. Even within that, though, Dennis, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, particular sentences still afford judges a lot of discretion in the kind of punishment that they might impose. And it's not like if you commit one particular offense, then the judge is only authorized to send you to prison for, you know, say 2 years. If you look at, you know, even a first-time offense, you know, judges for, you know, let's say an aggravated DUI, a felony DUI, is a class 4 felony. We have, you know, we have six classes of felony in Arizona. Class 4 is right about in the middle. The lowest sentence that a judge could impose is 1 year. The maximum sentence is 3.75 years. And the presumptive sentence is 2.5. So unless there's additional information presented to a judge, they're generally going to impose a sentence of 2.5 years. But they have discretion to go as low as 1 year or to go as high as 3.75. And if you go to a class 2 felony, which typically is going to involve, an aggravated assault type count where, you know, some physical injury has been committed, that sentencing range is no less than 3 years, all the way up to 12.5 years. That's a large range in which a judge is able to look at all the information involved to figure out what a proper sentence ought to be.
So if you had your way and you were king, what would you do in terms of what would be your highest priority in terms of this whole sentencing issue right now?
Well, I would keep things exactly the way that they are right now, and I would be willing to look at additional diversion programs for drug offenders and for those that were able to screen and identify that a substance abuse issue is the overwhelming predominant contributing factor to mm-hmm. their criminal conduct.
All right. We're talking with Bill Montgomery, by the way, and in the time we have left, Bill, there's so many different topics, but I do want to hit on one topic I know that you're interested in or have been interested in the past, and that is this whole Proposition 203 medical marijuana issue. Why don't you begin, I guess, by telling voters what your thoughts are on that whole issue and where you stand on it?
Sure. In short, there's no such thing as medical marijuana. It's not
right.
A moron.
Okay.
If marijuana were medicine, it would be prescribed by a doctor, available at a pharmacy, and given to you in a well-defined dosage. None of that is true with this monstrosity of a statute we've got now called Prop 203. I'm very concerned that when dispensaries are created in neighborhoods that they're going to be magnets for crime. And this isn't a concern in a vacuum. We can look at the other 14 states that have passed similar measures, and we can see what's happened there. I know I can tell you right now that drug use among youth will go up. In fact, the most recent Arizona youth survey showed that as many kids are smoking as are trying marijuana. And that's before this medical marijuana thing goes into effect.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and the other thing I can tell you for certain is that we will see an increase in the number of deaths caused by impaired drivers.
Yeah, so what are you doing now that Proposition 203 passed? What are you doing in your office, if anything, to deal with it?
Well, what we're doing is, first, I'm making it very clear to law enforcement agencies throughout the Valley that my commitment to prosecuting felony offenders for possession of marijuana has not wavered. If someone does not fall within the very narrow range of those authorized to possess and use marijuana under the, you know, medical marijuana
yeah.
rules, we're going to prosecute them.
Okay.
You don't get a pass. No one should mistake the passage of Prop 203 for a belief that Arizona now is going to do a wink and a nod at recreational marijuana use.
Yeah, this is going to be a nightmare. I mean, the whole institution of this thing, how it's administered, we're going to have lots of problems over that. Bill, in the time we have left, as I said, I want to hit a bunch of topics. We have about 2 minutes. Let me just ask you about your position on the death penalty at this point, because that's been in the news lately. People are getting stays of execution. There was someone executed. What is your position in terms of how you see it now that you've been in office for a while?
Well, and I actually went down and I witnessed the last execution involving, I think it was Eric Wayne Cook.
That was the guy that killed the two guys?
Yeah, killed
horrible.
Two people in a robbery.
Right. Sodomized them or something, is there a call?
That's the guy who's pending.
Oh, I see. That's
now.
Right. You're right.
who received a stay. And it's a convoluted point,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It has something to do with his representation at trial in which he represented himself.
Right. But how do you see the death penalty? Getting back to my question earlier, I apologize.
Sure. And I got to tell you, it's different being interviewed by an attorney. It's a little bit direct and cross-examination, but it's good.
Okay.
I believe that the death penalty is a just punishment for the unjustified taking of innocent human life. And where the evidence supports a conviction for first-degree murder and the evidence supports the allegation of aggravating factors to make someone eligible for the death penalty, and it's a just punishment, we will pursue it.
Bill, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Bill Montgomery, county attorney, a great county attorney. I know you'll continue to be a great county attorney, and I hope for many more years. Thank you for appearing with us today. It's been a pleasure hearing about your story and about some of your goals for the office, and we'll be returning next week with Sheriff Joe Arpaio as our guest for the hour, Wednesday from 4 to 5. This is Dennis Wolinchek, KFNX. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, both AllerCaps and Liver Complex are on special. AllerCaps promote healthy immune and adrenal function, while Liver Complex provides broad-spectrum detoxification and liver support and may be used with immune support products such as AllerCaps. Do a little spring cleaning with AllerCaps and Liver Complex. Buy two bottles of either special product and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Cave Creek, Phoenix. News Talk Leader, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC. It's 5